lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What I'm about to share with you is something that I share with individuals many times during the year, and if you've been listening to the program for some time, you know that I've talked about this subject before. Well, it's an important subject, and I would like for us to understand today that when a person gets saved, they're not to be left to themselves. In other words, just floundering around, not knowing what to do after salvation. I'd like to speak to you for the next few minutes about how to get started right and how to finish well. And someone has actually said that in order to finish well, you need to start well. Well, something that Jesus Christ shared with us is the fact that he came to give life, and he came to give it more abundantly. And that life is in him, and that life is for every person in this world who trusts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In fact, he wants to give that to everyone in this world. In John chapter 17, verses 11 through 20, Jesus is speaking here, and he said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take me out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Now, I go back and read verse 15 again. I put in the word that thou shouldest not take me out of the world. Well, Jesus Christ would be given up and going up to heaven soon after the resurrection. But that verse does not say that thou shalt not take me out of the world. Notice again as I read the verse, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that they shouldest keep them, that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And Jesus goes on to say, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Now he's speaking to the people around him there, the apostles. He's speaking to those individuals who are alive right then. But he also speaks to us, as he's given us the great commission to go into all the world as well. But notice now, he's not only praying for these people around him at that time. And notice what he goes on to say in verse 19. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone," those people around him right then. He wasn't praying for those people alone. He goes on to say, "but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word." Now, their word is actually, when we go back and study the scripture, we find out that God used godly men of old to pin down what God wanted pinned down. And it was through their words, through God's word. They pinned down the words of God, and it became theirs. And it becomes ours when we get into the word of God. But notice what he says here. "Neither pray I for these alone," those around him, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's us. That's those individuals who trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can also read Romans chapter 8, verses 34 through 39, and you'll read there that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. And we've already started well, by trusting Jesus to save us. And that's you. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you've already started well once you've trusted Jesus Christ to save you. And now you need to finish well by letting him guide you and direct you through his word. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Well, how do you get started right and finish well? I've already mentioned that you've been saved. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you've already started right, but now you need to finish well. First thing that I would say to you is this: forget the past. Philippians 3:13, Paul says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Remember this, you cannot change the past. That's over with. You can look toward the future. You can work now for the Lord, not to be saved, but because you are saved. And I would say that first, I would forget the past. I would say to you, forget the past. And secondly, maintain fellowship with God. Well, once again, as we think of this, we go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, where it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We need to have a prayer life as saved people. We need to talk to our Heavenly Father. And I would remind you that he's not everybody's Heavenly Father. It's only those people who have trusted his Son, Jesus, as Savior. They are the only ones who can say, "Our Father which art in heaven." Well, first I see you need to forget the past and then maintain fellowship with God through prayer. And then through Bible study. In Psalm chapter 119 and verse 11, it's the first part of that verse says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." We stay close to God through prayer and Bible study. Now, we're to study the Word of God to grow strong. We're to pray to our Heavenly Father to have heavenly communion. Now, as we think of this, heaven is only a prayer from us. It's only a prayer away. Heaven is with us as we pray to the Lord. Forget the past. Maintain fellowship with God, and then focus on the goal. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Well, notice this, if you would, about those verses. Paul's not reaching for salvation or trying to stay saved. Paul is working, doing everything he can to please God because he is saved. The goal is to serve God until we go to be with him. Forget the past. Maintain fellowship with God. Focus on the goal, and then maintain fellowship with other believers. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Exhorting, in this verse that I just read, means to build up, to encourage each other. We need to have fellowship with other believers so that we can encourage each other daily. And we do that by our next point that I'm going to share with you. That's by joining a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, standing on the King James Bible. Forget the past. Maintain fellowship with God. Focus on the goal. Maintain fellowship with other believers. And then, join a Bible-believing local church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 goes on to say, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And we've already read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, where it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." And as I read verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, let me remind you that this is speaking of the local New Testament church in Jerusalem, the first local New Testament church. We're to belong to a local church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God. Do not join a church just because it's handy. In other words, close to where you live. Do not join a church just because your aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, and anyone else in the family has gone there to that church for 100 years. If the church your relatives go to, if it preaches saved by grace and not by works, then that is more than likely a good church to belong to. You do not go to a church just simply because of tradition. Remember, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9 says, we're saved by grace through faith, and that it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you can also read Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 in connection with that verse, those verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We need to go to a church that preaches and teaches saved by grace. Join a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching, the blood of Jesus saved church. And a good way to find a church would probably be to ask the person who led you to the Lord. Well, then I see after we join a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, then I believe that baptism is in order. By immersion, complete submersion. Baptism is one of the first things you should do, if physically possible, to let people know you have been saved. Baptism is an ordinance of God, not a sacrament. There's no sacrifice or sacrament involved in being baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Being baptized does not save you, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. That says you were saved before you got baptized. In other words, the verse says the people gladly received the word. They were saved and then were baptized. Well, after a person gets saved, they need to be baptized. And I remind you once again that baptism does not save a person. Baptism is a way of identifying ourselves with Jesus. Just as Jesus was crucified when we stand in the water, we are acknowledging the crucifixion of Christ. Just as Christ was buried, when we go down into the water, we are buried in the likeness of Christ's burial. When we come up out of the water, just as Christ was resurrected from the dead, we are identifying that we too have been resurrected to new life through the life of Christ. Lastly, after baptism, we should observe the Lord's Supper. This is communion. Communion is an ordinance of God. It is not a sacrament. No sacrifice, no sacrament is taking place during the observance of the Lord's table. The Lord's Supper, communion, is only for believers. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper does not save a person. We are told by Jesus in Mark chapter 14 and verse 22 and Luke chapter 22 and verse 20 to observe this ordinance because we are saved. There is no saving power in the elements, bread and juice, of the Lord's Supper. Once again, we take communion, the Lord's Supper, because this is what the Lord wants us to do. In fact, the Bible says we are to observe this ordinance of the Lord's Supper until He returns. Well, I can go on and give many other examples, many other things that would help each of us to know that we've passed from death into life. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that you've passed from death into life because you are one of the whosoever. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've done that, you've passed from death into life, and now you have started right. You need to finish well by getting into the Word of God, by praying, by joining a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church that stands upon the Word of God. Do as God wants you to do, and you will finish well. Get into the Word and let God speak to your heart and let you know what you are to do as a saved person who has you've passed from death into life and you're on your way to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.